vida. Greetings, everyone, all those who are here, that are here with us today. I know there's just a few of us today, but that's okay. Praise God. And all those who are online, I just want to say thank you for being with us, and praise God for you too. And just want to say that all those who are online, this is just as much for you, or all those who would hear this later, as much for you as anyone. And just feel well received. And feel that you're a part of the congregation here. Whether there be many or few, where two or three are gathered, there the Lord is in the midst of them. Amen. Trust God. Why don't we go ahead and pray now and believe God. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, you are the one true God, and we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Giving you, O Lord God, all our hearts, that you would yield, that you would help us to yield, to be guided and directed by your by your hand. O Lord God, that we would yield unto Thee all that You would have us to do, think, and say. That we would fear You, Lord God. We would have that godly and obedient fear and faith. O Heavenly Father, that Your presence would be here today. And that You would speak to people, Lord God, all those far and near. Touch people's hearts, Lord God, that they would be exhorted, comforted. O Heavenly Father, that people would see the real need to come unto Thee right now, today, Lord God, with renewed minds, with an open heart, to be transformed. That they would fear Thee, O Lord God, above all else. I pray the Spirit of God to rest upon everyone here today. Lord God, that You would anoint this message, that You would anoint the song service, that You would go before each and every person here. Prepare hearts, Lord God, to receive. This we pray in Jesus' name under the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, thank You, Lord God. Oh, the Lord is good. Praise God. Oh, praise God. I just want to say greetings to all those who could make it here, and greetings to some new folks here, a dear brother in the back, and another wonderful couple that just walked in that I've never seen or met before, but good to have you. Praise God. And all those that are online, for those who might be new with us, I just want to say welcome again. And tell you what, the Lord is at work. And the world has been in a craze of being manipulated. The world has been focused on things outside of God, because they don't have a heart to see and to hear and to fear God. Their heart is over there. It's why you don't see them in church. It's why you don't see them serving God. Because there are no roots deep enough. Their roots aren't deep. And we want to encourage people to grow their roots deep in the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because it's all for the good of those that fear God. So that they can stand before God uncondemned. Amen.
Amen.
They can stand before God justified with hope and confidence. That's why we're here. That's why we serve God, to live for God. There is no other reason. To fear God and to give Him the glory. In fact, we should sing that song 127 in the chorus book to start out. It's called, "To God Be the Glory." And I want to bring something to people's attention here. There's a world out there that doesn't fear God. We know that. But there are those that do fear God. Amen?
Amen.
There are those that do desire to give God the glory. Amen? There's a man by the name of Godfrey de Bouillon, who was an old crusader who conquered Jerusalem way back in the day. And when he came in conquering Jerusalem, when he entered the gates of Jerusalem, What happened? The man, as he walked in victory there, they wanted to crown him with a crown of gold. But he refused that crown of gold by saying, "How can I receive that crown of gold where my Lord Jesus received the crown of thorns?" Amen? And he refused that crown of gold. That old crusader, Godfrey de Bouillon. Why don't we just go ahead now and sing that song? 127 to God. Now, I do make a lot of reference points now. Just don't, get alarmed by that. I make a lot of reference points to history, to military. I love military history. I've been very studious of that. I've grown up with military in my blood, with my most of my family in the military. I've studied it. I've read it. I've thought about it. I do a lot of research. I have a great love for anything that is connected with how that it works with the Word of God, the principles involved, like that great centurion who believed God at His Word. Amen? Those are the kinds of things that I have a great love for. I have a great love for ships, being in the Navy as I was. So if I make reference to those kinds of things, you kind of know a little bit of my background, and that's kind of why I do that. And it just feels right to me. So, amen. Why don't we just go ahead and sing that? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. And if I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done. With His blood He has saved me. With His power He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He has done. Just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to Thee. If I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. With His blood He has saved me with His power. He has raised me to God. Be the glory for the things He has done. Oh, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, give praise to Him. Amen. Hey, give praise to the Lord. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to lift your voices, your hands, and your hearts. Give Him the glory. He deserves it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's go to a song. Oh, yeah. I had a reminder note here that I wrote down a long time ago. Oh yeah, I think it's on 64 in the chorus, or in the hymn book, right, Shirley? I Know Whom I Have Believed. Is that right? Or is that a different page?
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a different one. I Know Whom I Have Believed. I know it's on a different page than it. 278 on this course, on this hymn book. I'm thinking of the other hymn book that we have. But it's called I Know Whom I Have Believed. If we could just go there and sing that. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin. He redeeming Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not why my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with Him or meet Him in the air. but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, we praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise God, amen, because He is God. There is no other God but the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we go to another chorus in the chorus book, the blue chorus book again. 156, if we walk in the light according to 1 John 1:7 there, that it's reference to next to the song there, as you'll see, and how true that is. And another, I just want to make mention too. In the old Greek days, there was the old Greek games that they used to play. Now, I'm not advocating Olympics. Sports of any kind. I used to be heavily involved with them. No longer am I involved with all that. I just put God first now. But I just want to tell you, it's another principle to think about, to look at, to consider for your life. In the old Greek days, the old Greek games, way back, they had a game that they carried a torch. And the winner wasn't the one who came in first for that race. The winner was the one that still had the torch lit when they came across that finish line. Amen. Those who won that race were the ones that still had the torch lit. Now, there is going to come a day when we will have to cross that finish line sooner or later in our own lives. And that day when we stand before God, will we be able to say that that torch was still lit? Are we walking in the light every day of our lives? Are we striving for the mastery, contending for the faith, doing what we can to live for God now? Because that's what we ought to do. That's the challenge that we are faced with every day, to choose to live for God or to live for the world. We can choose to do our own thing and live for the world and do the things in the world, or we can choose to live for God and put God first. Are we walking in the light? Or are we walking in the ways of our own conceived light? What we think is right and good in our own eyes. Amen? Let's go before God. Give your hearts, your souls, give everything that you have. Give all your energy, your strength into the Lord, and watch the Lord turn your life around. Watch the Lord do a work and do amazing things, do a miracle when you put Him first. There might be struggles and you're going to wonder, Lord, I put You first. Lord, I did this or I did that for You. Why don't things seem to change? Why, Lord? Why haven't this happened? Why hasn't that happened? I prayed for that, and that hasn't happened. Don't ever get discouraged. Because you see, the road to heaven, as you already know, many of you, is going to be paved with hardship. It's going to be paved with proving your faith out. It's going to be paved with adversaries, traps and snares set by the enemy to hold you and to keep you down and to keep you back. The adversary pitting you against the Word of God with doubt and fear and worry. Let's walk in the light while there's still time. Amen. Walk in the light while we still have breath in our lungs to breathe. Let's go there. Praise God. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from sin. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We ought to go to 159, and there's a song called Seek Ye First. And I want to preface that, too, with another wonderful story. Oh, seek ye first. An elderly lady, true story, who used to walk to church crippled, struggling, toil and pain, getting to church faithfully. Oh, and somebody asked her once, how do you manage to get to church faithfully? How do you manage that? How are you able to get there every Sunday? And she says, oh, my heart gets me there first. My old legs just follow after me.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
My heart gets me there first. Where is your heart today? Let's sing that song. Seek ye first. Seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. The world is starving for God's fellowship. Many people are without fellowship. Many people don't have a church to go to. Many people don't have others to pray with. Many people that we know of and think about and talk about, oftentimes in our prayer meetings, Shirley and myself even, as we sit here Saturday nights and we pray for people. And there are many out there that are, oh, they're in a situation that you just wouldn't believe. Break your heart. We're reading some letters the other day, and I saw Shirley. She was overcome with grief and began to cry. Reading these letters, she was overcome by grief for these people. And all I could do was just, all we could do was pray and say, Lord God, all we could do is begin to pray in the Spirit.
Praise you.
Pray in tongues.
Amen.
Pray.
You.
Pray in such a manner that
only
the Lord can hear and reach that prayer that is uttered from a broken heart.
Praise
that
you.
Words can't explain.
Thank
words
you,
can't
Lord.
Utter. And give it to the Lord and watch miracles happen.
Praise the Lord.
Watch the Lord do miracles and set people free. That's why we're here, to be ambassadors for Christ. To live for God and to fear God and to give Him
Praise
the glory.
The Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. That's why we're here. And when people go before God on Judgment Day and they stand before the Lord, and they haven't lived for God, their names aren't found written in the book of life, what will they do in the end thereof, the Bible says? What will they do?
Dear Lord.
What hope is there for such a person? Oh, how we need the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We need the Spirit of God to fall fresh on us. Why don't we sing number 160, just right below that song we just sang. 160. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Break me,
God in heaven, thank you, Lord God. Praise your name in heaven, Lord Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Those whose roots grow deepest grow best. Amen. Those whose roots are deep in the Lord will grow sure and strong. Like those big trees out here. Through wind and storm and rain and winter. And boy, they keep growing. Steady and sure and strong. Full of strong and deep root. We should have that faith in God. We should have that same kind of strength in God.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God.
That's what we should be striving for. Amen. We're going to now take up the offerings. Can I have a dear brother? Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome. Nice to see you all.
Good to see you all. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And if anybody has anything that they want to share, a testimony of any kind, a thing that they just want to share from their heart, just feel free to raise your hand. Exhortation, edification, comfort. Thank you, brother. Feel free to raise. Sister, go ahead. Amen.
For the mighty miracle-working hands.
Amen.
For his mercy and his tender loving kindness. I just want to give him all the glory.
Amen.
Through a situation that I won't go into detail with, but just how you can pray about a situation and you can get news that seems like there is no way out. And I think sometimes when our prayers and our hearts are for someone or something other than ourselves, it's just all the more your heart is into it. And I just am amazed at how the Lord can take us from mourning to dancing.
Amen.
In a very short period of time.
Amen.
I just thank the Lord for the Meyer family, in particular on that day that I was so in need. Spending time with Sam and Leah, with Jane and Anna, with Shirley, whose words of wisdom were just really paramount. And
amen.
Just reminding us, when we go through something that is so hard, it just is devastating. And yet, when the Lord brings you through that, it is such an amazing faith builder. It's just beyond, and it just does. It just renews so much and gives you. He just wants us to put our foot forward in situations.
Oh, absolutely. Put God first.
I'm so grateful.
Amen.
And encourage all of us to never be too proud to share what you're going through and ask for the prayers of brethren and just to, again, bring it all before the Lord.
Amen.
Because, like I said, even when something looks hopeless, nothing is too big for our God.
Amen. That's so true now. Amen, sister. And praise God for that report.
Thank you, Jesus.
I mean, all those who are online who didn't hear that, perhaps. I know that it's kind of hard to hear online, perhaps with somebody that's in the pew there that has that echoing effect. So I just want to say that she was just given a praise report for how the Lord is able to answer prayers when you put God first. Amen. So to give Him all the glory, the praise, and the honor for all those people that are online who didn't hear that. And if there's anything else, and also, you know, if you're online, please feel free to type out something for Sam to, if he's not down in the studio room right now, he'll eventually get to that. But he's upstairs right now waiting to put the green light on for me. So I just want to encourage people that are online to feel free to send your requests or needs also. And we'll be happy to pray and give a prayer report and a praise report if you have any, or to encourage other folks. Because God is an answering God.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Whether people know, see, or realize that or not, He does answer prayer today.
Praise God.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise You, Lord God, for that testimony. We praise You, Lord God, for all that You're doing. We praise You, Lord God, now for what You're going to do today. We give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord God. That's why we're here on earth.
Yeah.
To put You first and give You all the glory. We thank You for these tithes, these gifts and offerings. Help us, Lord God, to continue to be good stewards of everything that that comes through here. Through all the tithes, gifts and offerings, let it be used for Your purpose and for Your glory, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, for giving us hearts to serve You. To put You first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Shirley, for the wonderful piano. Appreciate that. Praise God. And the name of the message today, I would say would be What God Requires of Thee. We'll just call it that, okay? What God Requires of Thee. Amen. And I have to kind of practice. Go to Matthew with me, if you would. The book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew, chapter 10. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Matthew chapter 10. And I want to start over in verse 22. And it says there, "And ye shall be hated of all men for My name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Do not draw back. Oh, don't draw back. Give God your all to the bitter end. Give God everything that you have. Amen. It's a fight for your faith. It's a fight to the very end. God is there to save you. The devil's there to trip you up. Amen. That road is a narrow road. And on that narrow road to heaven, that narrow road is paved not only with difficulty, but with blessings. Amen? But it's the sure way. If you take the wide road to heaven, if you take the wide road, that's going to be full of holes and slippery slopes. That wide road is a sure way to destruction. Amen? I just want to make that point. But when they persecute you in the city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Oh, before we know it. In other words, what that's saying is before you know it, the Lord's going to come back. There's not much time left. Amen?
Yeah.
To work while we still can. That's what that's saying. And it says here in verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Amen? Don't expect to be esteemed by anyone on this earth. This is the devil's den. Amen? In many ways. You could consider this the devil's den, a prison house. In this world full of allurement that keeps you from God. So, don't expect to be esteemed by people here that when you serve God, people aren't going to esteem you. You're going to be hated by the world. Amen? But just expect that. And that's okay. That's okay. Because your reward is not with men. Your reward is with God. Amen?
Amen.
But it is not enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, in other words, Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? That means you and me. Amen? In other words, it says here, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Did you know that there's going to be a resurrection of not only your body, but your reputation too? Amen? Did you know that? There's going to be a resurrection of your body and your reputation. It'll all be revealed that one day. Who will be known of God and who won't be? Amen? What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that ye preach ye upon the housetops. Oh, those that will spend their time before the Lord in the quiet calm of the day, in prayer at the Master's feet, seeking the Lord's face, seeking wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, to walk by the grace and wisdom that He gives them for that day. Amen. And that they go before the people and shout from the housetops what the Lord has shared with them. Amen? Praise God. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh, did you catch that? And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. But to shrink back, there are consequences. Going back to verse 28. There are consequences for those that shrink back from serving God. Amen. Don't be counted among those of the ruined. Be counted among those who will be redeemed. Amen. In that day. Don't shrink back like Lot's wife did by looking back at Sodom. Don't look back. Put your hand to the plow and move forward, onward and upward in the Lord. But it says here in verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord values you more than animals. Did you see that? Many people don't like to hear that. But the Lord values you more than animals. Amen? There's nothing wrong with animals. I'm just saying the Lord The Lord values you more than them. Animals don't have a soul. Amen? But people do. And people need to know about the Lord wherever we go. It's the people that are going to, whether they go into heaven or hell, that will either suffer or enjoy heaven. That's who we should be targeting. That's who we should be talking to and witnessing to. Those that have a soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And it goes on to say, in verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Oh, if you will own Jesus' name here, he will own you there. Did you know that? If you own him here, he'll own you there. It goes on to say here in verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Ah, but he came to enlist soldiers for Christ, that they may endure many hardships. Isn't that right? You're going to endure hardships. And that is going to cause people to go one way or the other. The sword is going to cut. The sword is going to divide. That dividing sword is the Word of God. People are going to choose whether to believe this or that or the other. The Word of God. Amen? It says here in verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter, against her mother and her daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. Did you know that wherever there's light, darkness is going to oppose that lightness? Wherever there is darkness, light will oppose it too. You have to learn to oppose darkness, because darkness is going to oppose you at every level. Learn to fight against the devil. Learn to fight against evil, wickedness. Learn to have victory and to walk in the light. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now, what does that all mean? And it goes on to say, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's what it means. It means if you love your daughter, if you love your husband or your wife more than God, that doesn't mean you shouldn't love them. That means if you put them before God, you're not worthy of following after. Now, it's a hard saying, isn't it? But that's the truth. What that's saying, that's a metaphor. That's what the Lord is trying to show you, that you must put him first. Put God first. If your husband doesn't feel good about coming to church, the wife should say, let's go. If the wife doesn't feel like going to church, the husband should say, let's go to church anyways. Let's go serve God. Let's do this for God, not for ourselves or the flesh. Let's put God first. It's not that you're coming to listen to someone's sermon, but you're showing faith in God to put him first on Sundays or Saturdays or Monday through Friday. Whatever it is, wherever you go, put God first. In your conversation at work, when you talk with people on the street, put God first. Be an example to people, strangers that don't know you. Don't be afraid to say, praise God. Amen?
Amen?
Don't be afraid to hand out tracts. I see my dear friend, Sister Shirley here. When we go to Madison, she's always pulling tracts out and handing it to people. newsletters and tracts, handing them out to people. I'm not glorifying a person here. I'm just saying we ought to be an example. Be an example to the world that's dying and lost and going to hell. Fear God enough to do that. Okay. Oh, praise God. It says here in verse 38, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." It goes on to say, "He that findeth his life," now this is one and the same, "shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Those that run from God, they run from the sparks, then they run into a fire. Did you know that? The people, they don't want to serve God, so they run from sparks, but they run into a fire. They think they're going to save their soul, and they lose it. They run from a little hardship, and they fall into it anyways. There are many men and women who have lost their lives that way, eternally. Not that they were going to save their soul. They didn't want to serve God. They didn't want to go through a little hardship, only to die of a tragic circumstance a few months later. Well, praise God. Let's keep going here. In verse 40, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth not me," or "him that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." Amen? "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward." In other words, what it's saying here is that when you are helping someone doing the work of God, you're blessing God. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You're blessing God that way. You're honoring Him. If you put God first, it's not like you're trying to honor a person before God. And no good man or woman would ever want that. No man or woman who truly fears God would ever want to be honored before God. Amen? You would say, whoa, put on the brakes, stop, time out. Let's just give that glory to God right now. Amen? Look to God. Give Him the glory. I don't want no one's glory. I don't want somebody's applaud and, oh, attaboy, and, you know, what in the heck? What good is that going to do me? The next morning, it's okay to receive someone's, to say, that was wonderful encouragement, and that encourages people to know that you're being a blessing to others and that you're helping them. That's one thing. That's good. But it's quite another when people are trying to flatter somebody else. What flattery has no place in a church.
Amen.
Amen? Just give God the glory.
Amen.
Give Him the praise. And, praise God. If somebody says, your sermon was good, it really helped me. Praise God. That's good. And, if you're mature, you're not going to take it the wrong way. Amen? You're not going to let it go to your head. So, in verse 42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Mm-hmm. Praise God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Turn with me there, if you will. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, thank you, Lord God. Paul is asking four rhetorical questions here, isn't he? in verse 1 alone. Oh, what does it say? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels of mercies? Those are four rhetorical questions he's asking. It's like saying, is water wet? I mean, is the rock hard? Is the sky blue where there's no clouds? It says here in verse 2, fulfill ye my joy then, it says. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. In other words, he's saying, if this is not a sham, if you are truly walking in the Spirit of God, amen, then you're going to love and show love one to another. If you're not a sham, if you're not a fake, if you truly are who you say you are, you walk as a Christian, then show it out. Prove it out. Show it to one another. Amen? Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Amen? In other words, what does that mean? Squabbling is absent where humility is nourished. Amen? Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, praise God. How much is that lacking in churches today, where people are abused by other folks in church? Oh, it's terrible. All the manipulating, all the abuse, and all the name-calling, all the condescending looks, and all the garbage that goes on in churches today ought to be ashamed of themselves. That should not be among Christians who are true believers. Should love each other and put and esteem each other before others. Amen? Before ourselves. Put others before ourselves as we put God before the world. Amen? Yeah. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Be unwilling, be unselfish. Be willing to be somebody who would be willing to wash your feet. Metaphorically, I'm talking about. Be willing to be a servant. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you go to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I just want to go there real quick. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, it says here in 14, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Amen? In other words, the principle is this. Don't be in the world. You're not of the world. You're in the world, but not of it. It's like a ship that's on the water. You're on the water, but the water's not in the ship. Isn't that right? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them that walk, oh praise God, I will dwell in them that walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. In other words, come out from Babylon. Come out from the Catholic Church. Come out from the Lutheran Church. These churches that preach false doctrines and easy believism. It's okay to go to a bingo party and swill down a jug of beer, and it's okay on Sunday. I've already, you know, I'll go to the confessional and tell the priest, he'll give me a penance and say 10 Hail Marys. Get on your knees and say 10 Hail Marys. Maybe crawl on your knees to the altar and say 10 Hail Marys. Oh, what a joke. What a joke. It's blasphemous. That's not of God. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will... What does it say? I will receive you. Oh, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And I shall be, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, praise God. Go with me to 52, Isaiah chapter 52, will you? Real quick. Isaiah chapter 52. It says here in verse 8. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit here. In verse 8, let's go back. Forgive me. Let's go back to Philippians. I'm getting ahead of myself. Just go back to Philippians, if you will. Philippians 2, chapter 2. And let's go to verse 6, back to where I left off. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But God made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus didn't come to seek equality. He already had it. Amen? He came to show by example. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Above every name. Jesus stooped to the lowest shame. Oh, but what happened? He's now exalted to the highest glory. Amen. And in verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Amen. Now, this isn't talking about some kind of a universal salvation here. It's all those that fear God to repent. But all those also that would make it into heaven, but those also that will be damned will also bend their knee. But they won't do it in a manner that you would hope. They're going to do it in despair and torment and death. They're going to be doing that on their way to hell, shamed for what they've done, bending their knee in abject shame for what they've lived, how they've lived. And they must confess Christ. No matter what. Even devils believe and tremble. Did you know that? Every knee will bow. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In verse 12, it says here, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Did you know those that fear God tremble at His word?
That's right. Oh, yes.
Boldly put your faith in God. Activate it. Work it out. Live it out. But those that fear God will tremble at His word. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Oh, what will that do? It will produce a lowliness in your life, a spirit. Amen? A spirit to live and to love for others. A lowliness of preferring others before yourself. To do His good pleasure. To do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless before the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Among them ye shine as lights in the world. In other words, to be blameless as sheep in a field. They don't bite and devour, do they, sheep? They just kind of simply graze in an open pasture. They're kind of dumb, but you know, the Lord leads them and guides them. Isn't that kind of how it works? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Oh, what does it say? That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Nobody wants to stand in God on that day to think that they've done everything in vain. But there are many that will stand before God and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name?" Like William Branham, how that he claimed to know the Lord and he had a halo around his head, and how that he claimed to have all these answers for people, and yet he was doing secret handshakes with the Illuminati and Satanists and all these people groups that were not of God, Masonic people. He didn't believe in a baptism in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. William Branham. There are others of that ilk. There are many folk who have lived to lie and to deceive people. Many come to look like angels of light, to try to look like they're speaking truth. But are they living it? Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. Oh, but your life is not in vain when you pour it all upon the cross for the service of Christ. When your life is poured out as a drink offering to serve God. Amen. It's not in vain. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians. I want to start out in chapter 7, verse 1. Chapter 7, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. Did I say first? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe that's where I made the mistake. last time. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And it goes on to say in verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Oh, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we're going to continue in 2 Corinthians 7, but can I ask you to do something with me? Go to Ephesians right now, if you will. Go to Ephesians, because I want to preface that with Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Did you know that cleansing is the work of cooperation through and with God? Amen? It says here in verse 21, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking about cleansing in 2 Corinthians 7:1, right? It says here, because this is an aspect of cleansing usually connected with an intimacy with Christ. That's what causes usefulness for service in God. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And it goes on to say, be ye angry and sin not. In other words, there is a righteous indignation against sin. Be ye angry and sin not. You can be angry against the devil. You can be angry against the things that you've done and said that were wrong against God and against your neighbor. You can be angry at yourself for failing God. That's what it means. Be ye angry and sin not. Have a righteous indignation. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Did you know that the righteousness of man worketh not the righteousness of God? Did you know that? Neither give place to the devil. Oh, so that we might be vessels of honor, according to 2 Timothy 2:21. Amen?
Amen.
2 Timothy 2:21 talks about living as vessels of honor. And then there are vessels of dishonor too. Amen? I'm not going to ask you to go there, but if you read it, you'll know it. You can see that. Let's go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 2, verse 2. Paul was in a constant battle with these Corinthians, constantly pleading with them, who at one time have showed a great love and affection for the work of God, for the things of God. But the devil comes in and distorts, like many of us. When we give way to the devil, we find ourselves being confused, and we listen to distortions of the gospel truth. And we walk away confused. And then it starts arguments with other Christians, enmity against God because you're not right with God. It's untruth. It's sin. It's unbelief. So we need to be careful to walk with integrity, humility, and honesty all the day long, seeking out what is truth, searching the Scriptures. Amen? Receive us, it says here. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. We have defrauded no man. Oh, he was constantly pleading with them to open their hearts to the gospel. Amen. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts, and to die and live with you. Great is my boldness and of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Oh, why is that? Why is he joyful? Because he knows that through tribulation works patience. Patience, waiting on God, learning and growing. For when we were come unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Did you know that that's the way of the Christian? You're going to be troubled on every side when you follow the Lord. Fighting within and without, it says here. Without fightings, within were fears. Now, he's talking about the many things of the flesh too. You work out your salvation with fear and trembling, yes. But perfect love casts out fear. There are two different kinds of fears. And there's a fear of the world, there's a fear of God. There's an obedient fear, a godly fear. Amen. That works out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's called filial fear. Amen. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforteth us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation. Oh, did you see that? I just want to say, who is that consolation? That's the first question you should ask yourself. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. Oh, that consolation is Jesus Christ. That consolation is Jesus Christ that he's talking about. But it goes on to say in verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. In other words, it was for a reason. He didn't want to make them sorry unto death, but sorrowful unto repentance. Amen? Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye were sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. Amen? That ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Oh, godly repentance produces a certain diligence. It means to stay turned around. That's what it means. To stay turned around. If I could put it that way. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Amen? Wow. The sorrow of the world worketh death. Verse 11 here. Goes on to say in verse 11, for behold, the selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea. What clearing in yourselves, yea. What indignation, yea. What fear. guilt of shame. We ought to be angry at the devil and sin, not at other people, not at God. Be angry at the devil. Amen. Vehement desire. What does that mean? Purity. That means you don't want to sin anymore. Amen. You don't want to displease God anymore. That vehement desire to serve God. Yea, what zeal. Oh. What does that mean? That's like having the fire of God in you, the sparks.
Yes,
the fire of God living in you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes. Oh, and what revenge. Godly sorrow that remains in a changed heart. That's what that is. Resolved through flood and flame to overcome every difficulty in your life. To revenge against the devil, sin, death, and hell. That righteous indignation, amen? In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. To be clear, free of guilt and shame. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it for this cause that I did not did that I had done the wrong, nor for this cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Amen. Appear unto you unscathed, unselfish in that manner. To be unrepented of. Amen. Why don't we go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. There, I just want to go to verse 1. Therefore, it says, now this is talking about what God requires of thee. So stay focused and with me on this. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. These are things and requirements that we're talking about. What God requires of thee, which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Did you know that because of apathy and carelessness, many people will be robbed of the treasures that they have in God? Did you know that? For the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression of disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which ye at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? How can we neglect so great a salvation? It's not a piece of emotional pageantry rescuing men from nothing in particular, is it? Our faith in God? Of course not. But to ignore it, to ignore that salvation, is to bring that undescribable tragedy at the end of one's life. Let's go to now, we'll go to Isaiah. Isaiah 25. And there I want to go to verse 8. I was getting ahead of myself earlier, but I want to go to verse 8 now. It goes on to say in verse 8, "And he will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it." There will be a day when we will no longer be troubled by all that sin. No longer be a place where that rebellion resides, where that dread and temptation fill our minds. There is coming a day.
Praise the Lord.
"And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is the Lord our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Oh, praise God. "We'll be clothed in the garments of praise and thanksgiving forevermore." Amen. For so great a salvation that was not neglected.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Now let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 14. Let's just go to verse 7. "Saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters." When you bow to Christ in adoration, you are at your very highest at that moment. Did you know that? When you bow to Jesus, that's when at your very highest moment right there. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. I'm jumping around, I know. Chapter 10. Deuteronomy. Chapter 10. And it says here in verse 12, "And now, ye Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear God, to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul." We are to live after that pattern set for us. That pattern set by God, not our own patterns. Amen. "To keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens and the Lord of thy God, the earth also, which all that therein is." And it goes on to say now, in verse 15, "Only the Lord had the delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all the people, as it is this day. Special attention is given to a place of great responsibility and privilege, to a place of obedience when you fear God. Amen?
Amen.
It goes on in 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Means to walk after God's Spirit, to be renewed. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. In other words, God cannot be bribed. He won't be bribed. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's go now to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm jumping around quite a bit today. Normally, I don't like to do that, but several different scriptures that I wanted to go to. Goes on to say, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Did you know that fearing God will keep your feet from slipping? It will keep you on that road? For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But there is a place that leads to that ark of rest, that place, that secret place of rest, under the pavilion of God's arms, His Spirit. Amen. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3:16. Oh, wow. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon His name. Oh, in the midst of all that doubt, discouragement, suffering, loneliness, tears, heartbreak, tragedy, there are those that will come together and speak often about the Lord. And then there's a book of remembrance. And it goes on to say, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them. As a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between righteousness and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth Him not. Why don't we go to, we're talking, the Lord prompted that on my heart also, Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. Right before Jeremiah. Where is that verse? Huh? Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, I was looking at that too, yeah. Okay, praise God. Well, goes on and says in verse 1, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Even there will the Lord look. Him that fears God and trembles at his word, the Lord will look." What does that say in Psalm, I think 25, the secret of the Lord? Believe. Where is that? Oh, praise God. Well, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear the Lord. Amen. The secret is with them that fear the Lord. Fear God and live. Trust God. Tremble at His word. Live for God. Put Him first. I think I'm going to end right there. I just want to encourage people to fear God. Put Him first. That's what is required of us. That's the whole duty of man, is to fear God. The whole duty of man trembles at His word. Amen. If there's anyone here who doesn't know the Lord, if there's anyone here that needs prayer, if there's anyone here that would like to rededicate their lives to God, if there's anyone here that needs any kind of help of any kind, please feel free to raise your hand or just come forward and we'll pray with you. This is more of a short sermon today. I was kind of here and there. Usually my sermons are a little more of I read chapters at a time. But I kind of bounced around a little bit, I guess, today.
It was good, Dan.
So, I hope that for whatever it was worth to you, I hope that it helped someone out there. And just give all your attention to the Lord now. And why don't we just sing that song, 128, "Turn Your Eyes Upon the Lord." Or upon Jesus is the name of it. 128 in the chorus book. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of the earth will grow strangely Him in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look Could just make an announcement here too. We're going to have a luncheon downstairs, and I would just like to encourage those that are new here to please join us. If you're here for the first time, or you've been here just a few times, to just join us downstairs. I don't know your names. What are your names?
Me, Jerry Golden.
Jerry and Joanne Golden.
Right.
I'd just like to encourage you to can you stay for a while, or are you able to? Or you're well invited to stay with us if you would. And our brother back there, if you'd like to stay with us, what is your name?
Ken.
Okay, Ken. Well, feel free to join us if you will. And praise God. We're going to sing one more song. And I just want to make mention too that just what we typically do is we sing at the end of the service. We'll dismiss people unto prayer, and then every first Sunday of the month we'll go downstairs and we'll have a luncheon. And I just want to encourage people to be mindful of that and to go downstairs and join us, if you will, and we'll just go from there. So let's just sing one more song, number 18. There is a flag flown high. Number 18 in the chorus book. A flag flown high. It's been a while since I've sung that. There's a flown high from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart, from the castle of my heart. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the king is in residence there. So wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Let the whole world know. Wave it high in the sky. Let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. From the castle of my heart. There's a flag flown high from the castle of my heart. For the king in his residence there. So wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know, let the whole world know, let the whole world know. Wave it high in the sky, let the whole world know that the king is in residence there. Be dismissed unto prayer. Amen. Thank you.